Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. It is a good morning. I hope you've done your run this morning, your yoga, whatever you've done. I hope you've stretched those tendons. I hope you've buffed out and toned those muscles. I hope you shaked your booty. I hope that sacrum started to wobble and you got your center. And as you got your center on the yoga floor, on the dance floor, on the Pilates floor, or at the track, you started to accelerate. I hope you stretched your neck. I hope you felt all that energy fill the inside of your brain and keep your mind clear and young. And so you knew on this bright sunny morning you were regenerating. I hope that's what you did. If you didn't, well, make sure you listen to this show, because we're all aging, and that's true. But we want that second half of our life to be, well, in a sense, health-wise, just as good as the first. And one of the things we see depreciating is clarity of thought, our memory, our logic. Hopefully our wisdom increases no matter what. But certainly, how many of us can think back to when we were in high school and we could look at that page just one time and remember everything that was said? When somebody gave you a phone number once and you didn't forget it, when somebody gave you directions a few miles away and you could just memorize that in your mind. There was a reason for that. And there's a reason you can't do that anymore. And if that's you, this show's for you. Today's show, the top 10 reasons why you cannot think straight anymore. Because that's what it comes down to. Somebody says, do this, do this, do this, and do that, and you're on page one. We have to put an end to this, because that's what makes you feel old, and you don't want to feel old. So here it is, the top 10 reasons why you don't think straight anymore. Number one, I'm going to use an example of a guy I really liked, Rick Perry, governor of Texas, presidential candidate, trying to get the Republican nomination, and he made that little faux pas, couldn't remember one of the judicial branches, and it may have cost him the nomination. Some of us remember that. Well, the state of Texas is doing just fine. We wish the state of California had a balanced budget like the state of Texas. So Rick Perry knows how to govern, and Texas knows how to do things right economically. No one should argue that. It's a fact. However, Rick Perry, he's legion for low back issues. And whether you know it or not, what happened that day happens to a lot of us, where the sacrum, okay, now if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, get on the website. If you've been on the show before, hopefully you're on the website. If you're in the car and you're driving, don't get on the website. I'll do the best I can to explain it to you, but we can do so much more with pictures. Pictures say 1,000 words. I've only got 60 minutes. I can say 60 hours if you just use the pictures. So be on the website. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com. Straight Talk with two T's. Go to the radio literature section and just follow it straight to the second to last picture, picture 28. That's a picture, if you're driving in the car, of the beginning of the spine and the sacrum. So from C1, which is what we call the occiput, the atlas, all the way down to the sacrum. That entire bony vertebra, all of those vertebra, have to be able to move fluid. If you're a dancer, if you're into breakdancing, if you watch breakdancing, if you think breakdancing is absurd, but you like ballet, get this one straight. All people in dance know how to isolate, whether it's Pilates, whether it's yoga, or whether it's dance. But let's use dance as an example. You can hold, as a dancer, your rib cage stable and yet shake your booty. No other way to say it. No better way to say it. You can shake your derriere while you hold your rib cage stable. That capacity means that that sacrum in the bottom there, that big triangular bone, if you really forgot your anatomy, the sacrum is that bone just below the fifth lumbar vertebra. It's kind of the seat of your pants. It's a triangle. You're looking at it, hopefully. And when that sacrum can wobble and isolate itself from the fifth lumbar vertebra, a force of current goes up the spine into the brain, back down and up again. In Chinese medicine, we call this the Ren and Du meridian. All cultures have a perception of how the sacrum, note that this word derives from Latin, meaning sacred. Note that thousands of years ago, tribes would take this bone and put it around their neck and either pray or go to war. There's always been something about this bone. Note that we pull from this bone today our stem cells. In the marrow of the sacrum is this abundant supply of fertile cells called stem cells. Another topic, another discussion, another radio show, stem cells harvested from the sacrum. If your sacrum shakes, that reverberation will send itself all the way up to the brain. Suppose you've got a fusion. Suppose you get a low back fusion. I think Governor Perry had one. L5 fused to S1 because of a disc herniation or recess stenosis or cord stenosis. The cauda equina, the lower part of the cord, starts to get twisted a little bit and causes pain. When you see people walking and they don't seem like their balance is there, this means that that sacrum, that L4, L5, sacral segment starts to fuse. Once you start to fuse, what does this have to do with your brain? You cannot regenerate brain flow. Your cerebrospinal fluid will not flow. The CSF, the milk of the brain, the leche of the brain, is the lymph of the brain. It's what carries away the waste product of brain function. And those cells metabolize faster than any other cells in the body. The brain is an oxygen hog. The brain is a glucose hog. Remember hypoglycemia, when you don't get your donut in the morning or coffee, or whether you need that meal and you skip it and your brain shuts down? Your brain will shut before anything. The brain is an oxygen hog. The brain is a blood hog. The brain is a food hog. The brain needs energy, which means it produces waste. And if that waste doesn't drain because you don't pump your cerebral spinal fluid, then the waste builds up and the brain starts to oxidize. In other words, those cells become victims of oxidative stress. That's a word you keep hearing me bring up show after show after show, on the tip of everyone's tongue, across all the lands and all the world. We should be talking about oxidative stress. If we can measure that in the cell, there is no disease. Later on today, I'm going to talk about markers for oxidative stress. And there's lots of labs that you can, as a private sector investment, go to these labs, Geneva Diagnostics, and find out how much oxidative stress is occurring to your cells, behind cancer, behind neurodegenerative disease, behind all sorts of diseases in general. So that booty's got to wobble. Like a dancer, it's got to isolate from the rib cage. The spine's got to get soft so that the occiput C1 and C2 can also sway like the sacrum. And what that does is it fertilizes the brain and drains it through the cerebral spinal fluid. Done. End of conversation. Case closed. See you next week. Bottom line, if you can't isolate down there, your memory, your clarity of thought is going to suffer. Bingo. Dunk. 2 points. Let that one sink in. Try it. No one's watching. Get up in front of a mirror. Have your partner just stabilize your rib cage and see if you can sway your pelvis and see what that looks like. Most of you, lots of you, lots of us are going to be moving like blocks. And when we go to these gym classes, unless we have a more sophisticated understanding, we're still going to move like blocks. So if you're over there at Equinox and you're pumping your weights, you end up to be a bigger block. If you're out there jogging and you don't counterbalance, don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with toning those muscles. But if your exercise program turns you into one big block, your average football player, you're working against your brain. Understand that? Case closed. Number two, fats. Fat, fat, fat. We want you to be a fathead. Why? Here's a little hard science. Trans fats, that's the garbage fat. That's the fat from Twinkies. It's the fat from chocolate. It's the fat that gets oxidized, rancidified, the fat that's played with before it comes to your mouth, not the raw fat. Need I say more on fats? Here's a little science. If you don't get the good fats, rather you get the bad fats inhibit the delta desaturase enzymes, blah, 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 big words for you don't make your DHA, your docosahexaenoic acid, you don't make your eicosapentaenoic acid, your brain fats. The fats that you want to fill your brain, to regenerate your brain, and your brain is all good fat. That's what the brain is, fat. Fathead, that's what you want to be, a fathead. Truly, not a grain brain. We'll get to that. When you eat garbage fat, the trans fats, that inhibits the formation of your DHA. Thus, you can't make your EPA. And what does that mean? It means your body's going to use linoleic acid, another fatty acid. These are all fatty acids. DHA, EPA, linoleic acid, they're all fatty acids with different amounts of carbon in the chain. Done. That's all the science you need to know. But if you're trying to repair your brain or build your brain with linoleic acid, it's like building a house with toilet paper. I don't think I could find a better analogy. It's like building your brain with toilet paper. It's like trying to repair it with wet toilet paper. It's useless. Your brain turns to mush-mush. And you feel it when you don't know where you're going. When you're 60 years old and you're headed towards Alzheimer's or senility. Or your memory's just so poor you can't go back to school. That's a big one. That was a big one for me. Sit there next to an 18-year-old in your upper 40s and realize that they're just happy because they're alive while you've got things to think about. You're a serious man with a serious concern and serious goals and the reality of life. And these little 18-year-olds are sitting there just chirping away about absolutely nothing. You can barely remember when you were like that. And then the reality of your brain just doesn't comprehend. People you're looking at in class, people that you know aren't as smart as you, are getting the answers faster. Well, didn't happen to me, not for too long. But man, what a wake-up call that is. When you really sit down next to an 18-year-old and you look at how fast even one that's not particularly bright can comprehend, because they haven't destroyed the axons and the neurons of their brain. And that's all about fat. So what are you going to do about it? The fat test. Here's the fat test. I don't think there's a better one, and take my word for this. Forget all this nonsense about fat in encapsulations. We love to think we can get it out of the oil capsule. Well, you know what? If you gotta, you gotta. So don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking it. But the bottom line is this. You got to get it from the food. Oh, we can't get it from the food. The food's not there. If it's really that bad, then hang it up altogether. We're all dead. If really the ecosystem's not going to, at this present time in space, allow us to nourish ourselves correctly, then either you're drinking the Kool-Aid and you're just not getting the foods you need, or we're all dead because we're not going to survive on capsules. So supplement with those capsules when, well, life as it is, you just can't meet the demands of what it takes to eat well. That's why we call them supplements. What a concept. So use them if you have to. But here's the bottom line. Compare it to what I'm about to tell you to do. Go to your best sushi restaurant. I don't mean the jokey ones. I don't mean the hokey pokey. I don't mean all the sushi you can eat for $5.95. I don't mean the fish that smells. I don't mean the fish that looks crap. Just doesn't look good. I don't mean the garbage fish. I don't mean the cuts that nobody wants. Go to the better places. Ask around. Another show we describe this. And order the best wild salmon that you can find. Coho salmon, sockeye salmon, Atlantic salmon. The best delicious salmon. And sit there and eat sashimi. So not the sushi. You don't want the rice clogging up your brain transmissions. Just eat the fish and eat the fish and eat the fish. You know what? In a good place, by yourself, go by yourself if money's tight. You're going to spend about $100. You're going to spend $75 to $100 eating wild salmon. Just eat the wild salmon. That's a great fish to eat. Maybe add a little taro, fatty tuna. And I promise you, most of you will comment on the site and tell me that all of a sudden you started to feel clear in your mind. You started to feel warmth in your brain. You started to feel like that food, like Grandma said, fish feeds the brain. Remember, Grandma? Remember what Grandma said? I remember in Brooklyn growing up as a kid, fish is a brain food. Everyone said that. Nature told us this. You know why? Because when you ate a good piece of fresh fish from the local fish guy, the guy that took it right off the docks that brought it right in from the ocean, guess what? It lit up the inside of your brain. If you're alive, you're going to feel this. And if you don't feel it, something is wrong. Save yourself an oxidative panel from Geneva Diagnostics and listen to your body. That's the fat test. Okay? You do the sushi until it fills your brain. And stop worrying about how you're going to sustain that. The first step is get the feeling. If you get the feeling, the Lord will provide. Isn't that the idea? Put the intention out there. Leap, and then the net will appear for you. So, number two, fats. Better have them in there or what? Or your brain's going to turn to mush. I'd put that as number two on the list. Now, fathead. You want to be a fathead shaking your booty. But grain brain, get the book. It's on the site. I put it on the site there, David Perlmutter. Really don't want to use medical doctors. It kind of disgusts me in a sense. But he wrote this wonderful book. He's a very smart neurologist. I pictured him there on picture number four with Dr. Oz, who I think is, you know, what we're finding here is more and more and more, we've got medical doctors jumping into the fray, trying to take the field over, and basically spouting nutrition that's been around for 50 or 60 years, but acting like it's new. And it is new to a lot of people, so I'm not going to knock it. And frankly, I like Dr. Oz. He's funny, he's good-looking, he's articulate. I'd rather have 100 MDs like that than what we've got at Kaiser. But here's the bottom line. They've put it out there now in this book by Perlmutter, who's a neurologist. Now, Perlmutter used to work with a lot of Parkinson's disease. And what he did with people with Parkinson's is he injected them with intravenous glutathione, and then he filmed them showing remarkable improvement. And yeah, it's right. The improvements only lasted 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. Perlmutter made a lot of money on this because even 6 hours of relief, oh my God. Have you ever seen a Parkinson's case degenerate? God bless them for getting up in the morning. Lots of us wouldn't, believe me. So Perlmutter made himself known in neurodegenerative sorts of solutions and outside, at least, therapies for it that were not generally medically accepted. He's come out with this book, Grain Brain. Get the book. Now we can all trust it, right? We couldn't trust Agnes von der Planitz 20, 25 years earlier, the recipe for living with disease. You'll see him on the website, picture number eight, picture number nine, picture number seven. I gave Agnes a wide berth because he was saying this a long, long, long time ago. But nonetheless, let's not get picky. Point is, get either Agnes's book or get Perlmutter's book. Why? Look, hardcore research. The best labs in the world know that high insulin is creating Alzheimer's.
Well, studies haven't confirmed this yet, and we need to do a little bit more research, and that research due to funding may take us another 100 years.
Guys, keep this one in mind. The cure for scurvy was discovered in the early 1800s. It took about 100 years for medical science to back up that if you drank pine needle tea, something the Indians knew, pine needle tea up there in the north, Canada, Nova Scotia, if you drank it, you'd never get scurvy. It took about 100 years for the medics of Great Britain to agree with that. Don't be a dum-dum. Understand that these things are true. Tell your friends with confidence. Tell your friends to get on my website and get the subscriptions and get into the archives. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. The website, straighttalk.cc. Buy a subscription. That's what you ought to do. I hate to boast, but here's the bottom line. This stuff is true. It's backed by science, and anybody that wants to argue that really needs to think twice about it. It's not in the context of the show to get too scientific, but I'm just going to piggyback off the people. Well, look at Perlmutter's book. It's telling us what the research on Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia are telling us, that if you want to, by the time you're 60, destroy your memory, if you want to get senile, if you want to develop Alzheimer's, if you just across the board want to destroy what you call your mind and get all depressed because now finally at 50 you've got the wisdom or 60 to do it right, you might even be retired and now you have the time to do it right. That could mean a lot of different things, a new profession, a new who knows what. But you can't think straight, but you're old. You're all hunched. You're feeling your age. Why even bother? Another 10 years, statistically, you're dead anyway. This is nonsense. This is not what's supposed to be happening to America, to you, to anybody. What a terrible feeling to be 50 or 60 and lose your dream. What a terrible feeling. Just when wisdom prevails, then your body goes kaput and you can't remember your name anymore. Why? Because books like Grain Brain or people like Agnes von der Planitz and all his work trying to explain this to people didn't go listen to. My doctor at Kaiser doesn't believe in any of this. Man, I don't have words I can say on air if that's the way you think. Quite frankly, catch it before it destroys your brain. Get rid of the grains, the carbs. At least minimize them. At least use your blood typing, like D'Adamo said. So if you're an A blood and you eat a little bit of oats, so what? But corn flour across the board, we should bury that. Sorry if it's part of your indigenous culture. Get rid of it. We've got the anthropology. We've got the anthropology behind this. We've got the forensic testing. Just read Chapter 8 in Jared Diamond's The Third Chimpanzee. Read that book. Agriculture's Mixed Blessings. I've done a show on this way back in the beginning of time. 200 years ago when this show started, I did a whole thing on food theory and animal protein, the benefits of it, and the destruction of mankind when we started farming. I kid you not. We were not farming in the Garden of Eden. So take it any way you want to interpret it. Think about that book. Beautiful, huh? That's number three. Number four on the list, a toxic colon. Now, I won't bore you with too much chemistry, but indoles, phenols, and ammonia, all sorts of metabolites of natural excretion from the cells that don't go out the kidney, that go into the liver and gallbladder, that go out through the intestines in the feces. Guess what? That poison, as it's going out, recirculates back in. People don't know this. People don't think that their large intestine is a big colander. It's a filter. It's a sieve. What that means is every time you flush something through the colon, a percentage of it gets back into your blood. A percentage of it gets back into your blood. Well, that percentage is going to cross the blood-brain barrier. Your large intestine makes lots of chemicals. Your large intestine circulates lots of chemicals that ultimately circulate up into your brain. Yes, it's normal to go to the bathroom once every 3 days or once a week. Go to your local Kaiser Permanente doctor and tell him, I only go to the bathroom every third day. And the doctor will tell you that's normal. I hope they've changed their tune. I don't think they have. If you don't move the feces, if you don't cleanse the colon, if you're filled with mucus, dead cells, bugs of all sorts, if the ecosystem in there is grossly perverse, if you don't do a colon cleanse, really, literally, a colon cleanse every now and then, do anybody's colon cleanse. Don't get picky about it, which one you should do. Do it. Colon cleanses are not complicated. You cut out the food, you take all sorts of stuff that makes you defecate more often, and you debride your intestines of mucus and feces and old matter, this, that, and the other thing. Do anybody's. It doesn't really matter. But make sure you do it. Make sure you know the pleasure of a bowel movement where when you pull your lower abdomen in, you feel clean. Do you understand? Do you live within forgot what it's like to have a bloated colon? Do you ever have that moment where you do an enema, get a colonic, and your brain starts to feel better? That's because you're flushing out the indoles. That's how you're flushing out the phenols. That's when you're flushing out the ammonia. That's when you're flushing out all sorts of poison. And there's long, 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 long lists of these things. It's not a myth. Your colon is connected to your brain. Your colon is connected to your brain. And the more you go, and the cleaner it is, and the cleaner you are in there, guess what? The less toxic your brain's going to be. That's a big one. Because if you don't get this, you putrefy over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. At 50 years, who knows what's living in your large intestine? And what's gross? It's gross to talk about it? No, it's not gross to talk about it. It's gross not to talk about it. It's gross not to do a colonic. It's gross not to stick a tube up there and pull all that stuff out. That's what's gross. We got it wrong. The Wonder Bread generation, guys, is dead. Some of us remember it as the best years that America ever had. Well, you know what? In a lot of ways, that's true. Certainly, economically, it's true. Certainly, it was easy to buy a house. Certainly, your hard-earned dollar went farther. But there were some things that went with that. And it might have produced 2009 in the crash. And that is building your brain on Wonder Bread. We made a mistake. You know, I was watching Bob Hope. I love the old films and the old comedians. And I was watching Bob Hope. Now, there's an American icon doing the show for the GIs, World War II. I love that stuff. The Andrews Sisters were on. Most people don't even know what the Andrews Sisters are. Love that stuff. It feels so good. But who sponsors the show? You know, it's Wonder Bread, it's orange juice, it's companies advertising, you know, feed your kids Pablum instead of breast milk. This is how we ended up like this. It's not fair. Good, hardworking Americans that love their country and they suffer in old age homes with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. We've created a youth culture because people don't know how to age. I want you to take that one in. We've created a youth culture. Everybody's nervous and neurotic after the age of 40 because they're getting older. Because we see the inevitable. 60 means you're on drugs. 70 means you're useless. You're useless in the job market. You're useless as a lover. You're useless as everything. And your grandkids don't listen to you because you don't have any wisdom. You're just an old, dumb, shriveled up dope. And that's what we fear. And I'm telling you the truth. It's my patience. It's what's on everybody's mind. Who's kidding? And it's all because we can't take stuff in. So let's take America to another level. Let's take the country that's provided the most sophisticated technology probably in the history of mankind, and let's take their science and make it science. Number four, toxic colon, indoles, phenols, ammonia. Get rid of it. Candida, number five. See my show number 94. If you're new to the show, Dr. Vincent Medici, get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Get to show 94. Why? Candida, fungus. Candida produces acetaldehyde, A-C-E-T, aldehyde. Acetaldehyde crosses the blood-brain barrier. It's another neurotoxin. It makes you dumb-dumb. Anyone with candida or a history of candida or chronic candida knows that their brain doesn't work right. Their memory's not sharp. They're foggy headed. Lots of people say this. Let me tell you something. This idea from William Crook in the 60s on, where we have to kill candida, big boo-boo, bad mistake, terrible understanding of microbial theory. If you've got candida, if you've got thrush, it's growing because you're making it grow. It didn't invade you. It's not some monster that's taking advantage of your poor genetic heritage. If you've got candida and it's chronic or occasional, if it's hurting your brain, because it will. Those chemicals from the colon, you don't remember anything. Those chemicals from candida, acetaldehyde in particular. The sum total of chemicals sifting through your intestines going up into your brain will cloud you. Microbes make neurotoxins. Candida is a fungus. Here's the point. If, in fact, it's your problem, you're making it your problem. It's not about, oh, what antifungal remedy from niastatin? You go to your MD, she'll give you, he'll give you niastatin. You go to your nutritionist, they'll give you a whole host of things, antifungals, from olive leaf to cat's claw to garlic to the whole slew of these things that we know in vitro, in vivo, will kill fungus. Great. Not a bad idea. But here's what's so stupid about the way we approach it. We're not respecting that we have to spend our money on the herbs, on the food, on the lifestyle to change the terrain. I don't know how many times I have to say this. Change the terrain. Everybody says, yes, I understand, until that dark day when you've got the problem and it seems it just goes all out the other end. If you've got infection, particularly candida, clouding up your brain via acetaldehyde, crossing the blood-brain barrier, please understand you're making the infection because your terrain is growing the beast. Candida is a secondary animal. Candida as a fungus in general, both of which create horrible damage. Fungus is definitely part of the cancer thing. Candida morphs into other bugs. It's one big snotty mess in there. But understand, you can get rid of it by getting healthy. What a concept. As you improve your health, the terrain, all these things, all 127 shows about health, create a terrain, a new landscape, and candida has no reason to grow. That is how you get rid of it. Not with super expensive therapies or super expensive herbs. Yeah, if you can afford it, you can accelerate it. I'm all for herbs. I'm all for nutritional supplementation. But I can't stand the de-emphasis on lifestyle and the overemphasis on all the other stuff. You get my point. So, let's just go back a little bit more. I'm going to do this because I'm going to remind you that in 1750 in Europe, 1800 in Europe, we barely had any concept. We hadn't invented the microscope not too far off from those days. The point is that we didn't even have an understanding of microbes. And if you really want to get the truth, the all-important truth, the truth that should have prevailed, the truth that should be in infectious disease hospitals to this day all over the world, from Harvard to Stanford to Princeton to everywhere in the world, we should be understanding the microbe, how to get rid of your candida by changing the terrain. You know why? Because right from the beginning, as Pasteur force-fed us with this infectious theory, kill the bug. There was competition for him. And I put the competition in the name of a man named Metchnikoff. Look at picture number one on the website and look at Metchnikoff. Metchnikoff was Lithuanian. He was a biologist. He shared the Nobel Prize. Metchnikoff is part of the consortium of scientists who from the beginning were saying change the terrain. They were part of a consortium of scientists from the beginning, along with Enderlin, that were understanding that bugs evolve. They change shape. They go from latent, dormant, meaningless, inconspicuous non-entities to beasts, to massive Godzillas that can derange the entire physiology and eat the person with gangrene. These guys were back in the days of Pasteur. But you see, the Pasteurian perception of microbiology killed the bug. How many of you have been to an MD? And now that we've got genetic testing, we're going to find a lot of bugs, guys. Believe me. Remember, you heard it from me on this show today. Within 20 years, you will go to your doctors at Kaiser, and they will give you a genetic panel. It's already in action. We've got already billions invested. Everybody on the inside trading is excited about investment into this reality for you. This reality for you is within 20 years, you're going to walk into a doctor's office. You're going to pay $100, $200 or whatever it costs you, probably out of pocket, since who knows what insurance is going to cover over the next 5 years. And you're going to be tested genetically. You're going to be urged to be tested genetically. And those genetic markers are going to tell you which bugs are eating you. And they're going to tell you on that basis, you've got to do this, this, and this. They're going to use microbial infectious theory, kill the bug, to spend your money. You don't necessarily need to get it from an MD at a hospital. You're going to get it from a nutritionist. Holistic medicine wants to kill the bug. Everybody's got this mentality about killing the bug. The guys that started microbiology were not saying kill the bug. They were saying change the terrain. Metchnikoff was one of them. Picture number one on the website. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're lost, if you need a different perception, if you want to experience the next renaissance in medicine, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Get a grassroots fundamental orientation towards how you should approach your health. Don't get sucker punched into these nonsense superficial modalities that just keep you spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. And again, meet my challenge. Get yourself educated. Pasteur only had it half right. Metchnikoff, even in the 1850s, was first credited, along with the Nobel Prize, for the first guy studying the microbiology of the probiotic flora as it related to changing the terrain for health. We've already given a Nobel Prize to a man who promoted a theory of natural health a long time ago. Dig up those corpses in science. Go back into the scientific literature and you'll see a whole other medicine there when people didn't have to think so much about profit. Number six, anemia. Really simple. Did a show on anemia. I don't want to get into this too much. I only want to say about anemia. Anemia means often that your red blood cell doesn't have enough iron, because the hemoglobin molecule needs iron to bind oxygen. You send your red blood cells by and into the lung, and those red blood cells don't pick up oxygen because you have iron deficiency. Now, that's not the only kind of anemia, but you've got to be hip to the anemia issue. And if you don't have enough oxygen because you don't have enough iron picking up oxygen in the lung, when your red blood cell goes all the way over to your little toe or your brain, that's what the show is about. Remember, I hope so. If you don't have oxygen to the brain, along with the cardiovascular hit you're going to take because your vertebral and carotid arteries are starting to plaque up, if you don't have enough oxygen up into that brain, you're not going to think straight. Oxygen deprivation. The brain is an oxygen hog. If you have less oxygen because you have less iron because you're suffering from chronic anemia, you're not going to think straight. People go through their whole life like this. Their whole life. People go through their whole life breathing air that doesn't have oxygen because it doesn't circulate. People work all day long across a computer in stuffy little rooms where there is no air because there's no windows because the system is closed, and they circulate the same air all day long for thousands of years through that office. And then the boss comes in and says to work harder. Is that you? Have you ever heard your boss say work harder? Have you ever not met the demand of your job because you're tired, because you can't think straight? Well, that's because you're getting old and pretty soon you'll be useless anyway. So don't listen to this. You get the point? You're busy. You're stressed. There's not enough time to take care of your health because you've got demands to meet. You got to think outside the box here. Take the steps get that oxygen into the brain. If you've got chronic hemoglobin issues, if you're borderline anemic and you bleed out during your period, if you're borderline anemic and you start working out, understand that those blood tests, I did a show on this, understand that the anemias you suffer from may be borderline low, meaning technically you're okay. Your hemoglobin's 11 or 12, depending on who you are, and that's okay. But functionally, when you start exercising, functionally, when there's less oxygen in the room, functionally, when you're bleeding out during your period, or when you're bleeding out during menopause, functionally, you're very anemic. Enough said. Make sure that your hemoglobin values are at least 1 point to 1.5 points above normal. So if your range is 11 to 16 or 12 to 16, make sure that your hemoglobin is 12.5 or 13.5. Make sure you are profuse. Make sure you have an abundant supply of iron for an abundant supply of oxygen. After that, we don't want to get complicated. Just keep it in mind, along with fatty plaque. Fatty plaque in your carotids. So, you got brain congestion, you can't think straight, shake the booty, get the fats in, don't be a grain brain, clean that colon, understand infectious theory and what things like candida can do, make sure you're not anemic, and now number six, are you plaquing up? Oh, you know what, I did that screening over there down the street at the farmer's market with that machine, the carotid ultrasound, and they told me I was okay. Yeah. I have a bridge for you if you want to believe that one. Let me give you an insight here. When they give you these ultrasounds to the carotid, which in a sense are good screening, here's the problem. If you're 20% occluded, you're still okay. They account for, they adopt for a certain amount of occlusion as you age. You see, this is what's not right. The norm. You got to understand how norms are made. So we got to throw a little science in here. Norm. If everybody in the population's sick, the norm is made for sick people. Isn't that great? Don't you just love that? Little common sense and the whole thing just falls down. Well, we all, by the time we're 60, have 20% occlusion in our carotids. So it's normal. So the guy at the screening or in the cardiologist's office or at the hospital throws the ultrasound speaker on your neck, takes a picture of the inside of your carotid and vertebral arteries and says, normal. And you take the piece of paper and you bring it home and you smile because it's normal. Or you bring it into me and you smile because it's normal. No, 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 no. If you have a cardiologist worth his salt, then what you've got to do is demand a percent occlusion. Percent occlusion. That means when they read the carotid finding, they tell you, to the best of diagnostic ability, understand we don't have perfect diagnostic science here, but to the best of diagnostic potential, they're supposed to tell you your carotid artery is 5% occluded. It's 10% occluded. I can't tell if it's 5 or 10% occluded, but it's definitely less than 10% occluded. It's 20% occluded. And you've got to compare that. You got to dig a little bit, if anybody cares. You got to dig a little bit and find what percent occlusion they call normal. This is where you're going to find a whole new science. This is when you're going to understand that since everybody's plaqued up to 60 or 70, they consider it normal to be 20% occluded. That's why they only give you normal and abnormal. They don't want to get into it. Because if you're 20% occluded, what are they going to do for you? Mark my words. If they invent a drug that could melt plaque, that the AMA, the FDA, and everybody agrees about, everyone's going to get together, start clapping, somebody's going to get a big fat prize, and guess what? The next carotid ultrasound you get, they're going to start giving you percent occlusion. Do you follow my line of logic here? Because this is how it is. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get it straight. We have a renaissance coming in medicine. We're going to put holistic medicine back together and put it on hard science. And that's the key here. Hard science and common sense. You put those two things together, you have a knockout combination. We should not have so many people confused about what natural medicine, in essence, is really, really about. Mark my words. When we get a test that can tell us or teach us to melt plaque, when we get drugs that can melt plaque, you'll get those percent occlusions. Get them now. Because the oxygen to the brain, statistically, because of blood deprivation to the brain, statistically, decreases many percentages by the time you're 70 years old. By the time you're 70, 75, 80, you're getting 20, 30% less oxygen to your brain. Yes, this varies, but it is over 20%. We call normal at 60 years old. We call normal at 60, 65, 70 years old that the brain is getting about 20% less blood flow and therefore less oxygen to itself. That's a disaster. One of the markers for this is plaque. So standard in the physical exam you should be getting each year is percent occlusion in the carotid or vertebral arteries. And if you're at 20%, fix it. Won't get into that. That's another show. Fix it. Number seven. Here's a big one. Here's a big one. That is the pro-inflammatory effects of diabetes. Look up Alzheimer's. Do your own search with this. Look up Alzheimer's disease. And look up plaquing. P-L-A-Q-U-I-N-G. Plaquing in Alzheimer's disease. High insulin in Alzheimer's disease. Neurofibrillary plaques in Alzheimer's disease. Deposition of beta amyloid and its relationship to high insulin in Alzheimer's disease. It's across the board. This is what Perlmutter's book is about. These insulin spikes we're taking, and keep in mind, just because you're fasting blood glucose was normal in the morning after 7 hours of sleep and fasting for 3 hours means absolutely nothing. If you're not at least getting glycosylated hemoglobin, HGBAC1, on your testing 2 times per year, you don't know what you're talking about. If you're not into going to doctors, at least get an AccuCheck and do your own glucose tolerance test. Stuff your face for 2 hours with lots of carbohydrates. You know, just eat like your average American. Over the holidays, when everyone forgets about all this health nonsense, appropriately, right? There's nothing wrong with partying over the holidays if that's what you got to do. The point is, after it, if you're not getting your glycosylated hemoglobin tested or having your medical doctor or your healthcare provider request glucose tolerance tests, at least play around with an AccuCheck. Every diabetic in America does. In fact, we've got a fun and club of all people buying AccuCheck today. Very easy to learn to use this equipment. Take it. Take your own 1 hour after you eat a 1,500-calorie carb meal. And every hour for 3 or 4 hours, measure your blood sugar. See if it's going up to 250, 300. It doesn't matter if you don't eat like that. This is called a glucose tolerance test. You flood your body with those carbs that you're not supposed to eat and watch your blood sugar. Understand, if you have insulin resistance, it simply means for a multitude of reasons we're not going to get into, that when you do eat carbs, your blood sugar goes up too high, which means you make usually too much insulin. Insulin is one of the most potent pro-inflammatory mediators that the body produces. If the insulin's high because the blood sugar's high, vice versa, really, the bottom line is your brain cells are being hacked to death. Every time your blood sugar and insulin exceeds the level it's supposed to, meaning your blood sugar should live at about 80 or 90. Yeah, it should. And after a meal, it should still be about 80 or 90. And your liver should basically constantly be taking fat and making it into sugar, constantly. But if that's not the case, if you're into carbs, if you really bit the bullet on that nonsense idea, if you really think that corn is good for you, if you really let it slip into the point where too often in the day your blood sugar is too high, It's like sending a bunch of machetes up to your brain cells, and those machetes just hack your brain away. And then you couple that with fat deficiency, you couple that with some fungus, you couple that with a fusion of your sacrum, you couple that with not getting enough sleep, you couple that with everything I've mentioned on this show, and then you sit there at 60, 65, or 70, and you wonder what to do. Wow! Isn't that a knockout concept? What are we doing? Just the amount of time we spend on the freeway each day. If we devoted half that time to our health, you'll go into your 90s with a memory as clear as you had as a teenager. And don't think for a second that that is not where this is going. So this blood sugar thing, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I ask you to just do the challenge. Here's the challenge. Just for a month or two or three, convert to a carb diet that's as low as about 20%. Read all these books on it. Read Dr. Perlmutter's book. Read Lauren Cardin's book, The Paleo Diet. Look up the Ogenes stuff on the Primal Diet. Just give it a shot. Measure your blood sugar. Take it down and listen to your brain. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to have to get on another one of my shows on how no one size fits all. Some people need a certain amount of carb. Yes, they do. You know why? Because when they eat carbs, their blood sugar doesn't rise at all. A-bloods in particular are magnificently designed. So why are we having all these stupid arguments about it? Why do we do that? Why are you either a Republican or a Democrat? Why is it left or right? Are people dumb? Is that really what we have to conclude about the masses? Our institutions are always one way or the other. Our political systems, everything else. Well, to your health, get reality. Here's reality. We've got ourselves zoned in, scientifically zoned in, on the problems with carbohydrates. There's too much science behind it. Get off them. And then listen to your body. And if you find that you've got to bring that carb in and you don't get an insulin spike, measure it. You don't get a blood sugar spike, measure it. Your glycosylated hemoglobin doesn't go up, measure it. You feel very clear eating oatmeal for breakfast. The guy that eats oatmeal, just a little imagination, guys. If you eat oatmeal for breakfast and you say your brain feels clear, then you have to eat donuts for breakfast and then say my brain doesn't feel clear. Or you have to get off that oatmeal for a long time, a month, 2 months, 3 months, and say, you know what? I actually feel a little clearer in the morning. You've got to what? Use these guidelines. Use the guidelines in nutrition. Use all these conflicting guidelines as exercises to your soul. S-O-U-L. You know that thing that doesn't have any place in science? Right? You pray on Sunday. You do your worship. But not when we talk about science. There's just no room for the word soul in science. That's the mistake. The soul knows all. There's an intelligence in you that resides in the soul that's going to tell you, if you listen, which way to navigate. And that's the secret here. So I'm going to say, for many people, no two ways about it. The insulin spike, as science shows, science without a soul shows, that that insulin is pro-inflammatory. That means you're sending machetes to your brain. That means as this insulin spikes, you feel dizzy and dumb because you're not eating right. Play with that and move on. Oxidative stress, number 8. Boy, we might even get to 10 this show. Oxidative stress, number 8. What does it mean? It means get on the website, and I've got some great pictures here. Picture number 13, what is oxidative stress? Picture number 14, oxidative stress means oxygen, the atom, is in almost every compound of the body. And oxygen, if you take an electron away from it, if oxygen's got 8 electrons in its valence level, and you take an electron away as oxygen interacts, then oxygen becomes a monster. It becomes a free radical. it becomes a potent pro-inflammatory free radical. And we say it lays down oxidative stress, which if you look at, say, picture 15 on the site, the kidney, the skin, the eyes, the heart, the joint, the lungs, the brain gets a bunch of machetes to it because oxygen free radical components go up to the brain, and instead of, hey, I thought oxygen was good for the brain, not oxygen without an electron. So get that one straight. Oxidative stress. I'm going to keep using the words all the time. Next week, we're doing cardiovascular health, and we're going to really get down to what your cardiovascular panel should be. I never want to hear the word my cholesterol's high again from anybody I ever talk to. Oxidative stress. Oxidative stress, whether it's to the inside of your arteries or to the brain, means that you are generating too many free radical oxygen compounds. There are tests for this. Geneva Diagnostics. Go on Google. Geneva Diagnostics will tell you that you can take an oxidative panel that in the blood or urine will start to tell you how much of these free radical moieties are running around in your body, eating up your brain and other organs. That test should be standard. If you haven't had one, get it. Number 9 is sleep. I'm skipping it. Here's show number 11 on sleep. Don't want to say more, but sleep is big. Last but not least, congestion in the suboccipital space. And this is where we're going to conclude. Congestion in the suboccipital space. Get on the website. Give us a call. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you want to get put on track, make the appointment. Look at picture number 19. Look at you in your wedding picture from the side. Take a picture of you when you're 40. Take a picture of you when you're 60 and watch that head come forward and forward and forward and forward. That crushes all the blood and oxygen to your brain. Posture causes physiological defect, and we don't want that to happen to you. I'll see you guys next week. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Go out and stretch. Ta-ta.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.